We will turn our Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. I want somebody to take the microphone and we're going to read the whole chapter just to find out what's going on there. 13 verses 1 onwards we will be reading. Anybody would like to? Yes, James will read for us.
Church Bible, so I do apologize. So it's chapter 13, verse 1 onwards. The Lord now said to Moses, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 central tribes." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, and their camp into the wilderness of Paran. These were the tribes and the names of their leaders: Reuben, Samuel, Shashum, son of Zachar. Sorry if I pronounce his names wrong.
You can skip those names from 16. You can go.
Okay. All right. These are the names of the men Moses sent out to explore the land. Moses called Hosea, son of Nun, by the name Joshua. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country. This, see what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of crops to see. It happened to be the season for harvesting for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land for the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near Lebo Haramth. Going north, they passed through the Negev and arrived at Boran, where Ahimam, Zashia, and Talima were descendants of Anak lived. The ancient town of Hebron was founded 7 years before the Egyptian city of Zoan. When they came to the valley of Esekol, they cut down a branch from a single cluster of grapes, so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. They also brought back samples of the pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Esekol, which means cluster. Because of the cluster of the grapes, the Israelite men cut down. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community that they had seen and what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses: "We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it indeed is a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey, where there is the kind of fruit, and this is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak, the Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb turned.
Yeah, I think
Galab tried.
Shall we
to
stop
quiet
there?
The people. Okay.
Thank you, James. You probably got an idea if you heard what James was reading, but I will summarize again. The time when these Israelites came out of Egypt. So God promised them that he will take them back to the land where their forefathers lived, to the land where milk and honey flows. So don't imagine milk is flowing and honey is flowing. So Bible is written in a way that people understand at the time. Milk is pure, honey is sweet, and both were expensive at the time. And God says, it will not be expensive for you because it will flow, which means everything becomes free. Everything becomes available. Everything becomes so near to you that you don't have to work for it. You don't have to, you know, walk miles and miles to get the things that you need. So God's promise was, I will provide you. I will look after you. I will take you there. Those are the promise. Trust me, I will be your God and you will be my people. That was the agreement between Israelites and God Yahweh. Imagine this one. Israelites were slaves in the Egypt, very terrible situation. God brought them out miraculously, not just one miracle, two miracles, 10 plagues that Pharaoh would understand. Out of that terrible situation, God brought them in. Imagine it was COVID season. Millions are suffering right in front of our eyes. Thousands are dying. And then we come out of COVID. How was that feeling? I've seen so many videos back in India and here too. People were treated like subjects, not living human beings sometimes. If I come near to you, I'm going to catch that virus. I'm not even touching you. I'm not even coming near to you. So many people died, not because of the COVID virus, because of fear. They died what to face next day. They don't know. They died because nobody is coming near to them. They felt the virus that is in their body is so dangerous. That's why people are, you know, avoiding me. Especially when you come from a very close relationship country. What we call is warm countries. Cold weather country and warm weather countries. Eastern countries. They all like, if somebody is sick, everybody is there. So when there was COVID, and when somebody is sick, everybody's running away. So it's opposite. So people died. Imagine out of that situation, somebody come out of that terrible time. What would be the feeling? That was the feeling the Israelites had. Around them, so much was going on, but God brought them out. They gave them, God gave them promises after promise. I will lead you. So he led them through the night and day. When they walk in the night, there was a pillar of fire. When they walk in the daytime, there was a cloud, the Shekinah, just following on top of their head so that so they won't be tired. So that was the situation. Then Moses said, "Hi guys, God has given us this promise that he will give us this land. Why don't you go and explore?" In those days, it was not just going, okay, God said, this is going to be our land. No, you got to fight. There has to be both people coming together. There has to be a war. That was the idea. So these guys were getting ready to fight and trying to see if the other party is more powerful or less powerful. That was it. So it was quite usual to send some spies to different land, different countries, to find out the weak points and the strong points of that particular nation. It was quite usual. So Moses sends 12 people, each one from 12 tribes. 12 people goes there. And they look around and they peeks in. And you know the story. And they found out it's not easy land. So it's a place called Cluster because there was grapes producing, and the grapes that they didn't see, they saw was not the tiny grapes that we think of. Huge ones. And they said that little one cluster, one grape cluster was almost height of a human being. And the human beings are too tall. So they were carrying both grapes, both sides, each man carrying very heavy things. Some people think it's a tale, it's a story. You know, I never had those kind of things. I was watching, I think, some program on the YouTube, and they were showing an inscription of some metal plate. Somebody made the inscription in those days, showing exactly the same picture. These men carrying huge grapes, clusters of grapes, backside and on their shoulders. And they couldn't actually bear the heavy weight. So that was the inscription. That says, actually, what Bible said was truth. We don't try to imagine and say, why this is written. It was a land of fruitfulness. And people were so big, huge, so strong. You wouldn't want to fight with those strong people. That was the scenario. Now, what they said, 27. They gave Moses this account. We went into this land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. When we even saw descendants of the Anak there. Anak is the tribe that they were aware of, Israelites. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Now is our point today. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take the possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, and the descendants of Anak come from Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Now, we are thinking of the scenario. We're only concentrating on the verse 30 today. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take the possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." The Hebrew word "certainly" is called yakol. It means to have the power, to be able to prevail. Caleb was declaring that with God, they had the power to prevail. All others were talking practical ways. Now, I'm trying to introduce you a life living with God, a life of extraordinariness. When you see things, what people see is quite common. When you see, let's say, in the building, we see there are some empty chairs, some people sitting, you know, that's all we see. But extraordinary life people, people who live in the spirit realm, see something else. When you see a person, you see the dress that they wear, you see the way they present to you, but when you live an extraordinary life, you see beyond it. I was reading about this bird that flies above, eagle. They were telling this eagle, all the birds are shaken when the rain comes, when there is cold. Birds are, you know, almost dying everywhere. They try to find trees here and there, run around. But eagle would never be afraid. So the reason is this. This bird will find out where the rain is, and then he will fly against the rain to the utmost top level. And the rain would try to put him down, because the heavy rain, he would take the strength and he would fly and fly and fly above the clouds of the water, the rain pouring down. Above the cloud, you know what happens? No rain. It's peaceful. And he enjoys going there, flying around. All others are suffering. Oh, it is cold. It is pouring rain. I don't have a house to stay. I don't have anything. Now, this bird says, now I'm going to think beyond what is happening. I'm going to see beyond the situation. I'm going to see beyond my discouragement. I'm going to understand what's going on. I'm going to look through the eyes of God. I'm going to look from above, not from the below eyes. If you're looking from, say, on the ground, you see, oh, so big, this and that. And if you're on the flight, you know, flying, you see, hey, everything seems to be small. That is small, this is small. Now, you can just, if there is God, he can pull the rain that side, now the rain this side, now sunshine that side. It seems easy. Caleb said, "We can do it." That is Caleb's spirit. He had, what is that the Caleb had, that what is the thing that the others didn't have, was this: courage of faith. Courage of faith. We talk about so many other people in the Old Testament who actually followed God. We don't hear much about Caleb, but he had the unwavering trust in God. What are we learning today? When they were scouting, when they were marching in this promised land, all others were thinking is whatever they see around. Caleb was thinking, this is what God wants us to give us. If this is what God wants us to give us, what we need to do? We need to march in faith. We don't want to look around. We don't want to look what is going on there. We want to look beyond. That's what Caleb was thinking about. He brought a report of faith. They saw the same giants, the same fortified cities. They saw the fear. Caleb also saw the same thing, same giants, same cities. But others didn't see God, didn't understand God. But Caleb understood God is bigger than these giants. God is bigger than the situation. If God says, I will give you this one, He will give you. Well, what's the problem then? God would not just give you. He wants you to explore. He wants you to go and see what is going on there. He wants you to put your faith 100% trust on God. Say, Lord, although there is something is going on, although it's beyond my ability, although it is beyond my imagination, I can't do this one, but with you, it is possible. Amen. Caleb didn't say, oh, there is no giants. Oh, they are telling lies. No, he said, of course there is giants. Of course they are big people. Of course they will fight with us. Of course we're like grasshoppers. It doesn't matter to me. It matters to you. He says, just look beyond them. Just imagine who God is. Courage of faith. Another courage is trusting in God's promises. Some people have no courage in faith. And now the second thing we need to think of is promises. Do we have God's promises in our life? Do we have anybody prophesied on you before in your whole life? In your young age or recent years? If somebody says prophecy, then you think, well, he just got that one on your mind, so you just spoke it, that's it. We just move on. Think a little bit more deeper. Why was that promise came to me? Maybe it's going to happen. Maybe. You know, things are not going that way. Well, I think that particular person or a pastor, he did, you know, that was his job, he would do it. He would do it anyway. He would do it to everybody. So he did it to me. That's the thing some people think. But God says, I gave you, that is your personal promise. Never mind about anyone else, I gave it to you. And you don't believe it. You have no courage to believe it. That was it. When I was very young, I used to tell my school friends, I will be traveling to particularly England, very young. And lots of people used to mock and say, they laugh. The more they laugh, the more I enjoy. At least I made them laugh. But deep in my mind, it seems that God was telling me, preparing me from that time, you know, it is a courage in trusting God's promises. When God gives us some promise, say, He is going to do it. I am not letting it go. Promise. If we don't have faith, promise won't come to pass. If you don't have courage to trust that promise, God thinks, well, I told you, but you don't believe it. That's fine. You go on your way, I go on my way. Until you have the courage to believe it, God wants to make you a professor. Believe it. God wants to make you a pastor, believe it. If God said, I want to make you so and so, I want to give you a church, you know, believe it. You know, God wants to make you a great evangelist, believe it. God wants to make you so and so. You know, God wants to give you a particular job that God has promised, believe it. If you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. You got to say to God, I believe it. I'm waiting for it. When is it coming? When is it coming? When is it coming? Sometimes what happens is our practical common sense would become a big obstacle to God's miracles. Did I say something wrong? Our practical common sense sometimes becomes the stopping point. Which means sometimes we should leave that practical bit. When Jesus was trying to multiply the 5 loaves and 2 fish, what happened? There was a man called Philip. You know, he says, Lord, you know, those ones are not enough. You know, if you want to feed all these people, you need certain particular amount of money. Then only you can go particular place and buy. He made all the calculations, which was really practical. When you want to build a house, you need to be practical. When you want to do things, you need to be practical. You know, but Jesus said, I know you're so practical. If you have that much money, anybody can do it. No, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. But the miracles doesn't work like that. Practical things are not necessarily needed. What needed is faith. What needed is courage to come to Jesus and say, I have these things. I have only 5 loaves, but I can't feed all these 5,000 people. Maybe you can do it because you're a miraculous God. You can do that miracle. I trust in you. I obey you. I'm giving you. If you don't want to distribute that one, if you want to eat all the 5 loaves and 4 2 fish, that's fine with me. That's what the boy was saying. That's fine. At least you get fed. And Jesus said, no. I like your faith. Come on, give it to them. Courage of standing in the promises. Courage of trusting God. And courage and say to people, I am doing this one. This guy, Caleb, stood opposite of the crowd. Stood against the crowd. All the people were one side. They're saying, no. Caleb was saying, yes. And they said, no. Have you seen this parliament now? MLAs, MPs fighting. Some people said, no. The other guy said, yeah. No. Caleb was only one person saying yes. Moses was observing what's going on. What's happening here? And Moses knew Caleb was right. Joshua was with Caleb. These both were really good. They knew. But you need men to go and conquer. All these people who said no, they're not going to come with you. They're not going to carry the knife. They're not going to fight for you because they're already scared. And they're telling people, don't go there, you'll be killed. All the Israelite men, they said, well, if I'm going to be killed, I'm not going there. So only Caleb has to go and fight. If Moses agrees, then Moses has to go and fight. Moses is old man. And the Caleb and Joshua, you know, they only two people need to fight. How on earth these people will convince all these men? Sometimes, my friends, you don't have to convince. You don't have to. Because that's up to them whether they want to have faith or not. But it's up to you whether you want to go by faith. You want to trust God's promise. You want to stand with the crowd or you want to stand besides the crowd. Stand what God says. Stand with the word of God, not what the crowd says. Sometimes what happens is if everybody says one thing, you may have to sneak in. There is no option. If everybody says this is right, this is right, this is right, this is right, everywhere on the TV, everywhere outside, this is right, this is, what's wrong in there? What's wrong in there? No, you can do it. You can do that one. And then you think, well, maybe that is right. Always trust God and say, Lord, teach me what is right and wrong. What happened? If you read next chapter, what happens is this. They go and fight. They go and fight. And they got that land, Canaan. He says when we trust him, God will see us. When we stand against the crowd, when we see beyond the obstacles, and he rewards our faith and trust in him. Another thing, courage and faith is a choice. Some people choose, some people do not choose. Do we have that faith, the courage to go further? Do we choose or not choose? Both, either that way or this way. You can't be in the boat. I choose sometime, I don't choose sometime. No. Caleb teaches us to be courageous. Caleb teaches us to stand away from the crowd. Caleb teaches us be in steadfast faith. Don't be shaken up by the situations. I know some situations makes you think there is no God. Some situations thinks, I think I'm not righteous. Some situations think my prayer doesn't work. Some situations think, well, actually, this is all religious. We just have to go with the flow. But if you read, dig deeper in the God, in the Word of God, what happens is God comes down and speaks to people personally who seeks him. The power of perseverance. He persevered. He said to people, he calmed them. He said, listen to me, listen to me. What if something goes wrong? What if the Israelites fail? Everybody will kill Caleb. You said, that's why we went there. We lost this many men. Caleb wasn't actually in trouble, but he was telling, it's not me, it is God who is going to do it. We just have to believe and go and take up the land and think of anything else later on. A.W. Tozer said like this, it's not the praying lips but the believing hearts that pleases God. Caleb had the believing heart. I believe you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. So the question today is, let's reflect on Caleb's life. What are the struggles do we have? Where are you being stopped in your faith? Where is your perseverance? Are we standing against the majority or are we including ourselves into the majority, whether it is good or bad? Are we trusting God's promises? Do you have any challenges in your faith? Is there anything make you think, well, God doesn't actually do this one. I have to do it. Is there anything that way? I want to encourage you today. There is nothing God cannot do. There's nothing, absolutely nothing. You name anything, silly thing, big thing, anything. I had so many testimonies. If I wanted to eat a special food that I wanted, it will come. It will come, definitely. There are times I just thought in my mind, and that happened. There's nothing God can do. Silly thing, big things. Usually we say, I don't get angry. I don't think of anything negative because I've seen the moment I didn't like or got angry with somebody, something happens. So I said, well, if you are in line with God, God goes with your thoughts. So it is something that you need to observe. If you think you're conquering, you'll conquer. If you think you're not conquering, you're not conquering. It's all your brain. What is there? The power in your heart, because God is in you. You yourself is the temple of God. Whatever that temple decides, you know, it will happen. If you think it is your temple, God's temple. Make sure that we stand in line with God's regulations, God's stuff, and ask the Lord, Lord, this is not what I can do. It is beyond my ability, but you can do. I stand with you. Why don't you go ahead? And God says, you go, I will come with you. And they did go. They went. When they wanted to conquer this Jericho, the city, when they were thinking, we need to sharpen our knives, we need to have more weapons, God says, shut up, all this, no, I'm going to do different. You don't even imagine. Just start praising God, moving around, shouting, hallelujah, whatever it is. They did 7 days. What happened? They conquered Jericho, the powerful, strongest city in the world at that time. God proved, I can do this. I want to challenge you. We all go through so many challenges, especially difficult times when people are not well, sicknesses, even our own sickness, even our own financial situations, our job situations, our travelings, our history, our future, our family, you know, it all looks like hopeless conditions sometimes. We don't get proper, you know, seats for the kids. I want him to be in this school, but he got that school. You know, I'm not happy, I'm not frustrated, I'm frustrated. You know, each one, you name it, everything, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, it is not possible with you. But if you live an extraordinary life, if you live a life of a spiritual man, you will see things totally different. And you understand God is at work. And God is taking you through a journey. And in the end, you would understand, wow, that was God. Wow, that day it was God who came and did that job. You know, it was God who directed me to this particular place. It was that person. You know, I think it was God. You know, you will find out. Hallelujah. And God says today, trust in me. I'm trustworthy. I know life is not easy. Physical sickness is not easy. But live a life beyond the storm. Look beyond the situation and ask the Lord, Lord, give me that peace beyond the situation. Help me, and He will definitely help you. Shall we close our eyes? We're also, as a church, trying to see if we can buy the next door building. Similar situation. How many people would stand with us in faith that we can buy? You don't need weapons, which means you don't need money to have faith. The faith brings money. The courage of trusting God's promise will bring money. It's not practical things that we need. What we need is stronger faith and courage. Courage to go and jump in. Courage to do things. courage to live a life worthy of our calling. Take that courage, my friends. Satan comes to you and says, oh, your life is done. You're getting old. You'll get lots of sickness, this and that. You'll be like this forever. Satan tells you so many things that seems to be reality. But God says, do not believe the lies. Satan only comes to steal and destroy. He will steal your peace. He would steal your joy. He would steal the way you think. You start to think the way exactly what the Satan is thinking. Don't, because what God is thinking is totally different. A bright future, a bright life, you know, a joyful life, a life that is worthy of your calling, whatever the calling that God has given you, you know, He wants you to live fully into that one. There is no in-between thing. God called you to be His child. God called you to do some purposes. God called you, and He is faithful and He will sustain you, my friends. All that we need is make up our brain and say, Lord, thank you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to see those miracles in my life. It might be health. It might be wealth. It might be anything. Lord, we pray for our congregation now, Lord. We pray for each one who's sitting here, Lord. We all have difficulties. We all have the things that we can't do. We all see things, Lord. We all see things that are not reachable, Lord. We ourselves cannot control. We pray. And we pray. Help us, Lord, to have that courage, brave heart, to jump in, trusting you will look after us. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Caleb and Joshua, who did that one and who were able to conquer the land. Help us, Lord, to conquer the peace. Help us, Lord, to conquer the joy that we missed. Help us, Lord, all the stuff that you have promised us. We will conquer. We will see that is happening. And we will have that smile on our face, oh Father. All the demons, all the enemy, all things that are working against our people would move away. In Jesus' name, we will not see the situations. We will not see what is in front of us. We will see beyond it. We will not see the storm. We will not see the health issues. We will see beyond this. We will see God, who is more, much more bigger than anything else. Thank you, Lord, for that courage. Build up, Lord. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we all stand together, and if the worship team wants to come and lead us into another song, then we will we'll finish off the service. Make sure that before we go, if you come here and give it to the Lord, and then and be blessed.